Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
And with the end of the Trump era only, can't believe we're saying this, a day away, lads. Our US correspondent Rebecca O'Neill joins us live now from New York City. Will Lil Wayne get a pardon? Will Lady Gaga play the inauguration dressed as a rasher? Let's find out. Rebecca, how are you?
Good morning, Jen. Good morning from New York. Yes, what a day. Can you believe it? Like you just said, we've been talking about it for so long and the day is nearly upon us.
Thanks be to Jesus. The day is finally here. But what's the mood like there, Rachel?
Well, there is certainly excitement and anticipation in the air that the presidency will soon be in the hands of an actual adult with whom, you know, you could trust important things like the nuclear codes with. But to be honest, everybody's really just holding their breath, Jen. It's another stressful, to say the least, week ahead here. So some good news, though, over the weekend. The feared mobs engulfing state capitals on Sunday didn't materialise. So the whole country here was on high alert for more violence after the antics at the Capitol. There's a lot of tension in the air, really palpable. Even here in New York, everyone's on edge. Happy days, there wasn't that sort of violence. So the FBI had sent a bulletin to all 50 state governments warning that extremists were planning violence at the capitals across the country starting on January 16th. Now, 20 armed protesters did show up, though, at the state capital in Michigan. You remember we were speaking about Michigan and the Governor Whitmer as far back as last November,
yeah.
You know, so that we were kind of flagging that this kind of extremism was here and could potentially happen. But I suppose people are taking a bit of a comfort in the fact that that didn't come to pass at the weekend.
OK, good. 25,000 National Guard troops have set up base in the capital. What's the latest from the intelligence agencies there?
Yes, so it's the city is like a fortress. So
okay,
yesterday,
good.
Again, we saw all day more and more troops arriving hour by hour on buses with all their heavy military equipment. The Capitol Police then using bomb sniffing dogs to check them out. Police checking on military. The FBI vetting National Guard troops. So extremism obviously is the biggest concern here, right? Officials are so concerned that there's an inside threat. But I mean, at such unprecedented times, again, that we're living in, that authorities are concerned about a threat from the inside. You know, so obviously, as well as the fact that it is like a fortress and the security for this inauguration is like another, you know, it's just kind of another layer like of this more unusual and absolutely nuts, really, to be honest, when you have these, you know, 25,000, like you said, more than double of what you'd normally have for inauguration, National Guard. Guards, which the FBI are now vetting because of the risk of insider attacks and, of course, completely necessary, you know, following the latest developments here with the extremists being shown to be, you know, from all walks of life, including, you know, cops, teachers, everything.
Can I ask you, how are the investigations shaping up following the storming of the Capitol? What's happening there?
Yeah, well, you know, thankfully, and as they should be, it has been taken very seriously.
Good.
Okay, I mean, such shocking images, right? Who ever thought that something like this would come to pass? Now, at the moment, the latest, you've more than 80 people facing federal charges from the riot, with more than 300 investigations opened. And, you know, what's interesting coming across in this, Jen, is unlike any other thing for a number of reasons, but also the entitlement, I suppose, of these people is in aiding the investigation. You know, the selfies, the videos, the live streaming, ensuring easier than normal identification. You know, it's like an extended special of America's dumbest criminals. Can you imagine storming the Dáil, filming yourself running off with the Taoiseach's podium? I mean, just outrageous. You know, it is the most well-documented terrorist attack in history. And you even have the likes of the apps that these right-wing extremists flocked to, with the Twitter and Facebook finally banning them. But, you know, the likes of Parler, one of the apps, they have a huge cache of videos, which, again, are ideal for identifying these criminals. So it is going to take, you know, more than an investigation like this to have America heal after such an extraordinary scene. But, you know, it is a good place to start. And I think people are taking comfort from the fact that the investigation is very much underway.
I hadn't spoken to you in a while, but I want to, I'd be interested to know, after Trump was booted off Twitter, how did the Americans feel about that? Did they just feel that, you know, Twitter was, it was just a little too late?
Yeah, there was a lot of that, Jen. I mean, I think that initially there was a lot of shock as well, you know. There was relief, I think, all across the board from people that, you know, it had just become his personal megaphone. He was completely eschewing regular modes of communication like other presidents. You know, when's the last time you saw him, you know, in the press office or giving a normal press briefing? So people were just getting bombarded with his everyday thoughts, which obviously was giving everyone a high state of anxiety. Yeah. Okay. But then at the same time, right, there was a lot of fear when the dust had settled, because, you know, Trump and his extremists had been quite public in their outrageous views, okay, and in their plans on these public apps like the Facebook and Twitter, and organizing, you know, such an incredible thing as a riot on the Capitol, okay? So the fear was then, if this is what they were doing out in public, what was going to happen when they're forced into the shadows? So like the likes of these apps like Parler and that coming to the fore, which is just adding more layers of investigation for the FBI and, you know, the police to find these people. So that's, I suppose, it's kind of like a dual-edged sword, and very much as well, like you said, too little too late. You know, I mean, you're going to do this now after this has happened. Yes, I mean, it's good to be taking action. But, you know, it's not just quite as simple, I suppose, as saying, oh, that's great. You know, they shouldn't be there. You know what I mean?
Totally. Now, Rebecca, as we said, we are in the final hours of Trump's presidency. What has he been up to? What's he been doing? What's he been doing lately?
Well, I had to laugh again, Jen. I think I said to you before, you know, like the journalists, you'd get the official schedule from the White House, you know, and he hasn't really been doing a whole lot. It's actually been completely empty, where normally it would be pages and pages of events and stuff. OK, so what he actually was on the official, the last official schedule, which was sent out last night, it said, quote, President Trump will work from early in the morning until late in the evening. He will make many calls and have many meetings, end quote. I mean, it's like something you'd expect a child to write down if they're asked, what does a president spend his days doing? Yeah. You know, he's had a busy start to the new year. Week one, insurrection. Week two, impeachment. Week three, inauguration. What next? But I mean, he has been up to his old tricks, really trying to stir things up and cause chaos, even in his last few hours. So there was, you know, just late yesterday, you had it there in your news bulletins. He was ordering an end to the ban on travellers from Europe and Brazil that had been aimed at stopping the spread of coronavirus here to the States. Now, that move has been quickly rejected by Biden's aides. They're saying it's not going to happen. You know, normally outgoing presidents would refrain from issuing new executive orders without consulting the incoming president. You know, of course, the most obvious and normal thing that the outgoing president isn't a sore loser and comes along to the inauguration, which most presidents will be planning on doing tomorrow, you know, and taking part in those sacred traditions to show a peaceful transition of power. You know, instead, his plan, he's leaving first thing, wheels up before 8 a.m. He's been trying to put together a farewell ceremony of his own at Joint Base Andrews. Rather, he's always loved the pageantry, you know, so his team have been furiously working behind the scenes to try and get him a crowd and some military flyovers and the like before the official inauguration.
Oh, God, how embarrassing. But has he actually conceded, like, has he admitted publicly the jig is up and that he's lost? Has he done that yet?
No chance. Like, I mean, good question. Like, will he ever? You know, I mean, in and another thing actually that he was coming out with in the late hours of last night, he appeared to be installing MAGA loyalists at the top of military and intelligence agencies. Again, just a few hours before Biden is sworn in. So this kind of 11th hour push to install his loyalists at the top of military and intelligence agencies. A lot of people were kind of coming out and saying, gosh, does this seem to suggest that these coup fantasies are still being kicked around in his head? you know, in some version of his reality, which isn't the reality that you and I and most people are aware of, you know, he either still thinks he can pull off a coup. Does he believe he can influence the military and intelligence agencies once he leaves office by installing his loyalists now? You know, he's still ranting. He won the election, you know. So, I mean.
So, no. So no, he hasn't conceded. No. But Melania was trending for hours stateside last night. Rebecca, what's she done? What's she done now?
I know. Like, Melania is leaving her first lady role with a bang, Jen. She was trending for hours last night. People were absolutely raging because she's snubbing Dr. Jill Biden. She's the first lady not to give the traditional tour. So it came out that she hadn't reached out to the incoming first lady and wouldn't be giving her a tour of the family residence. So this has been a tradition amongst first ladies, you know, for years. We saw Michelle Obama giving the tour to Melania, you know, quite an awkward time. And she still accepted her in even after the outrageous birther claims and all the attacks that Melania and Trump had put on her husband, Obama. Then, you know, Laura Bush gave the tour to Michelle. The tradition dates back to Bess Truman, like all the way back giving tour to Mamie Eisenhower. So she's come out and, you know, she's just been there, you know, defending controversial renovation work in the White House. You know, the bowling alley, tennis pavilion and Rose Gardens were redesigned. It's kind of like, are you for real? You know, well, she's leaving.
Not only has she snubbed the Bidens, she's also released a farewell message. Now, you kind of have to hear it yourself to really believe it. I have a short clip. Will we have a listen?
Yes.
Sorry to put you through this again. Probably listen to it a few times, but here we go.
In all circumstances, I ask every American to be an ambassador of Be Best, to focus on what unites us, to raise above what divides us, to always choose love over hatred, peace over violence, and others before yourself.
What a crock of absolute horse that it was, wasn't it? I mean, everything that she's saying there goes against everything that she was doing, even in a sense that she won't do the traditional tour to the Bidens, saying that we should raise above it and all of that. Awful, awful. What did Americans think of that?
Well, listen, they had a lot to say. And, you know, it wasn't very complimentary.
Right.
And again, you're saying, oh, gosh, I don't want to put you through it. Well, thankfully, your listeners were spared. That was only a few seconds. The fully released one actually went on for just under 7 minutes.
Whoa.
And, you know, she really doesn't talk that much. You know, I mean, we've had these chats before that, you know, she's been very much a behind the scenes first lady. You know, she hasn't at all done as much as others in the past. So for her to kind of come out with this big farewell and this big push talking about, you know, renovating the Rose Garden is really it's a further slap in the face to the new administration, and particularly in light of how bullish and, you know, what a sore loser her husband is behaving like, you know.
Now, speaking of the new administration, Biden's he's going to have to hit the ground running, really. What is on his agenda? I mean, what are the issues he's going to focus on initially?
Yeah, well, I mean, not only is he gearing up for the most important speech of his career, like the most important speech ever. Can you imagine trying to get ready for tomorrow? You know, he's got a full desk waiting for him to clean up. Really, Jen, let's be honest, the absolute mess of everything here at the moment, right? So he's promised from the very beginning of his campaign he is going to sign an order returning the United States to the Paris Climate Agreement. So that should go down well with the international community. President Trump withdrew the US from the agreement, you know, in a historic two fingers, really, to climate change. And then more good news for the environment. He's expected to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline permit on his first day. That's really big news for environmentalists here. They've been long targeting it, you know, as both a contributor to climate change and really a physical symbol of the country's unwillingness to move away from an oil-based economy. Now, he's also set to sign orders to direct the Education Department to extend a pause on federal student loan payments. So this is great news. Something that he campaigned along. You know, students are under significant pressure here every month to make these payments. He's going to extend the ban on evictions and foreclosures as a result of the pandemic. to reverse Trump's travel ban on some Muslim majority nations. And also, which a lot of Irish people living here will be focusing on, is a sweeping immigration bill. He's looking to provide an 8-year path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people living in the US without legal status. So this, again, a massive reversal from the Trump admin and their harsh immigration policies. And of course, what most Americans here are waiting on desperately, you know, he's going to be signing that $1 trillion financial stimulus that he unveiled last week. So, you know, getting financial support that's so badly needed here for people who haven't gotten any help in months of going through this, you know, pandemic and unemployment and everything, really.
Another person who's been brought to my attention in the last couple of days is Doug Emhoff. Is that how you pronounce his name? So while Kamala Harris is breaking all the barriers for women of colour, her husband, Doug, is going to be the first ever second gentleman. Now, I have a clip. Let's take a listen. Here's Doug opening up about their first date. Here it is.
So I left this ridiculous voicemail, which she has saved, and plays back to me on our anniversary every year. I thought I'd never hear from her again, but...
But it was just, it was adorable. And it was just, I mean, the thing about Doug is that he is exactly who he is. He's just fully authentic and clear about the things he cares about. And it's family, it's his work.
You.
And me.
And he's great in the sack. Imagine if she said that. That would have been amazing. But how are the American media portraying Harris and Emhoff? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose even just from hearing from that clip, it's nothing like we've ever heard from a long time from anyone who's going to be anywhere near the White House. I mean, these two genuinely are actually in love and they seem like lovely, nice, normal people. So there was a lot of coverage given to their relationship over the past few days, again, because, you know, they're really bringing so many firsts to the White House. So I think, you know, it's a welcome change, really. And also, like, not just the race issue, but also the fact that they're different religions. Harris doesn't have any of her own kids. She's now called Kamala to his stepkids. You know, it's a more modern, blended family than what the White House has been used to.
Do they have a dog?
I'm not sure, actually, no, but there has been an inauguration for it was great. They got loads of coverage. The rescue dog, he's the first rescue dog, the Biden's dog. So he had his own inauguration yesterday on Twitter.
That sounds so lovely. Well, listen, Rebecca O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's hope the next few hours are more peaceful in the run up to the inauguration. And we'll chat to you soon.
Absolutely. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.